If you were to pick up some of that mud on the bank of Lake Keith and place it under a microscope, you'd find a world of activity. Tiny microorganisms that offer insights to the structure of life. It was a similar patch of sediment, this one from Massachusetts, that started researchers with local connections to find a previously unidentified organism that may help connect branches on the tree of life. It's a story that's mostly science, but with a dash of whimsy thrown in.
My research lab deals mostly with anaerobic organisms.
Jeffrey Silberman is a professor of biological sciences at the University of Arkansas. He says one of the best places he knows to gather possible specimens of anaerobic organisms is Prince Cove in Martsons Mills, Massachusetts, where his mother lives.
So every time I'm up at my mother's house, I go down to the water and I scoop up some sediment and bring it down back to the lab in Arkansas and put that sediment into all sorts of different culture media and look for my target organisms, but also a whole slew of different types of organisms, some of which I've seen before, some of which I've never recognized before, come up in the culture media. And this is one of those organisms.
Jeffrey says he keeps little plastic screw top tubes with a milliliter of the sediment in the lab, and every few days he puts some under a microscope to observe the contents. Almost every time, he says, he sees something interesting. But one particular microorganism was very captivating.
I had never seen anything like it in my life. It's this little fast-swimming, flagellated organism that I've never seen in any textbook, in any manual on protistology, and it came up in great numbers, and I managed to, what I thought, get it into a culture where it was only by itself, no other protist or unicellular organisms in there. And every once in a while, I would see what I thought was a contaminant, which is an organism that I recognized. And I could never get that contaminant away. And it turns out that this particular organism has two morphological forms. One is this swimming form that I've never seen before, and one is this other form that I had seen before and have done some molecular and descriptive work on before.
Jeff's colleague, Matthew Brown, helped with the research. Matthew had earned his bachelor's and PhD at the University of Arkansas and was in Fayetteville when Jeffrey first saw the organism under the microscope. But he soon left for postdoc work in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Jeff sent me the organism and some culture. I did some molecular diagnoses to actually see if it is more than one organism or test to see if it's actually just one organism. Since there is these two different morphologies, one morphology that looks like something that we recognize, and another morphology that looks like something that we don't recognize. So I did some molecular diagnoses to actually identify if it's actually one organism or two different organisms.
This odd new creature, invisible to the naked eye, is one organism. But the initial confusion gave way to a remarkable discovery through further research. This little organism is unicellular, but has an ancestral connection to life forms with more than one cell.
Not only does this unicellular organism tell us something about the toolkit that was involved in becoming multicellular, in a broader sense, it tells us about what are the ancestors of major lineages of eukaryotes might have looked like.
Matthew, now a professor at Mississippi State University in Starkville, is the lead author of the eventual study about the organism that has recently been published in Proceedings of the Royal Society B, one of the world's leading biological journals. Matthew says that genetic toolkit Jeffrey referred to inside this form of life gives new thought to the tree of life and just when certain multicellular branches on that tree began to sprout.
So it turns out that even this ancestor had some of those genes that we had originally thought were animal specific. And in fact, the group that animals and fungi are in, they're a cohesive unit, but it turns out that a lot of the genes that are associated with these, with this multicellular toolkit were lost in the fungi. And so for a long time, people believed that there are a lot of genes that are animal-specific and fungal-specific. But what it turns out is that once you start to look at the ancestor of the group as a whole, you can actually find that there's more genes than what we really believed were. So it turns out they're not animal-specific. They're actually specific to a much larger group.
The perhaps simplest way to understand what this discovery means? identifying a new organism that can be placed on the Tree of Life can help us better understand the entirety of the Tree of Life.
Absolutely.
Matthew Brown says this kind of study reinforces the knowledge that humans and other animals have more in common with tiny single-celled organisms like this one.
By identifying organisms that, you know, fall at the base of a major lineage that, you know, everyone understands and recognizes, fungi and animals, understanding actually what an ancestor of those looks like is really important, because it actually turns out that the organisms that we recognize, the animals and fungi, are actually derived characters even at the single cell state.
If you want to know more about the science, and there's much more to know, you can go to royalsocietypublishing.org. I also mentioned some whimsy attached to this discovery. That comes with the organism's name. Again, Matthew Brown.
Pigsuia biforma.
Yes, you heard those first three syllables correctly. Remember, Matthew has 2 degrees from the University of Arkansas, and when he named the new organism, he merged a famous cheer from his alma mater with some mock Latin.
The organism itself actually looks like a little razorback under the microscope. So we had one of our colleagues that is actually a co-author on the paper. Whenever he was looking at it under the microscope, he was like, this kind of looks like a little razorback, because he always made fun of me for being a razorback fan. So the way that we took Wu Pig Sui is we broke down and just used Pig Sui. And to refer to it looking like a pig and being small, I wanted to use the word pig, and I used I took PYG of pygmy, which is a mythical group of race of humans in Greek mythology. And I took PYG for being small as the root of pygmy. And then Sua, which the animal family that pigs are in, are called the Suidae. And so I broke that down into Sui, and then just put an A at the end to make it sound more Latin. So it ends up being Pig Suia.
Jeffrey Silberman, the University of Arkansas professor who first collected the sediment containing the organism, says even more fun than naming the new organisms is the discovery itself. Does it ever feel overwhelming knowing that you'll never get to that there are these microorganisms that haven't been identified, may never, that we're walking on?
No, it's not overwhelming. It's satisfying.
This is Ozarks at Large.